Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I am bringing on Liz Marie from Liz Marie Blog, Liz Marie on Instagram. I'm sure if you've hung around the decor space in any capacity, you have come across her because she has been blogging forever. I don't remember exactly when I forgot to ask her that, but I know that I was following along with her long before I even thought about starting a blog. So she is one of the original bloggers. She is launching a brand new book this month, all about making your space cozy. She had a similar book a year or so ago, and then this one actually revolves around making your home cozy through the seasons. So we're going to talk about transitioning into winter, a little bit of Christmas decor, a little bit of mom chat, talking about making your home cozy and traditions and all of that we all need so desperately right now as the days are getting so short and so cold, and there's a long stretch ahead of us of that. So without further ado, let's dive in.
My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
So much for joining me. Is it starting to feel like fall in Michigan?
Yes, it's actually, you know, that misty rain. It is doing that today. It's very misty and cold, and I love it. So yeah. I am a fall and winter girl. Like, I do love summer, but yeah. I don't.
You guys
mind.
Got a pool this year or last year, maybe, but
yes, yeah. And that's been really nice. And so it is. You know, the seasons are different now with kids too, because you're yes. like more cooped up. And so it is
right.
a different factor. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's what makes me love summer so much, is just having kids. I know that in order to go anywhere, we have to actually have socks, shoes, coats, everything.
And now you have me thinking about that. It's like all these extra layers.
Yeah.
Run out of the house. And we're like a super barefoot family. And so we yes, are exactly. always barefoot.
We don't even wear shoes. And yeah.
No.
I know.
No.
We don't have to find. Yeah. If we leave, we'll throw shoes in the van, but we don't have to like have them on to walk out of the house. We send our kids outside most of the day. So yeah, this is the first year your son isn't going to be a baby.
Yes. So I have not fully experienced this yet. So I am a little nervous.
Yeah.
We're heading into the season of like I tell everyone, like babies are like, I like in my humble new mom opinion, they're just so easy.
Yes.
Because now all of my friends are like in like a lot of them are potty training, and I'm like, that looks so hard. I'm so nervous to start that. You know what I mean? Because it was just
yeah.
easy. You throw a diaper on, and now it's like, oh, I have to like walk you to the bathroom every 5 minutes. And you know what I mean?
I know. People are so anxious to do it, but it's actually just harder. It's so much. People are like, we're finally out of diapers. I'm like, what are you kidding me? Diapers are easy.
I don't get that. And like, it seems to be like a competition. And uh-huh. I do not get the hurry to potty train. Cope just started preschool. So he goes a couple days a week to preschool. It's this really cool preschool by us. They do like a lot of outdoor things, and it makes me a better mom. And it like, he loves it. He's very social. And the first week he was there, they're like, okay, bring underwear. And I was like, we're not quite ready, because we have like this planned. We had our market. So we've like prolonged it. So I think next week.
You actually have to do it. Oh, fun.
So I'll probably be really stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they all eventually get it. So don't worry too much.
That's what I say. We passed away too early. Like that seemed like a race to do. And I regret taking it away so early. It took away his babiness. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I wish he would have kept it, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, it's the first kid, you do that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm learning.
Yeah. So with that being said, he is old enough this fall, winter, whatever, to make some homemade Christmas decorations. Like you can actually probably do crafts with him. So that was one of the things that we were going to talk about,
was making ornaments with your kids that you actually want to display. That's a challenge. Now, another thing, of course, you could do is just like make a separate tree, which is what I normally do up in my kids' room, because I, you know, we get all kinds of crazy ones.
So having a child now, like we waited so long to grow our family. It was a long, like we were married, I think 12 years. So it was a long, like 8 year stretch of just waiting to grow our family. And so now I think what makes seasonal decor cozy to me is this being able to include Cope, our son, in on all of the decorations for the season that we're currently in. And I think another thing too is like starting cozy traditions, which you can wrap up into your decorating. So last year we did, I had like a woodland tree. It had a lot of wood elements and a lot of it was really like white and wood. And so what we did was I had, and he was, what, how old was he at the time? Not quite two. Like he wasn't, he was almost two. And so he couldn't do much on his own. So I created these little wood ornaments that we found at the craft store. And I just kind of had the materials out that would match our decor and then let him have free reign. And it turned out really cute. And it's so cool because we were able to have it on our main tree. But because I picked out the elements, it looked good with what we had. And we did that for our fall decor too. I just took out the paint colors that matched what I was doing and let him go crazy.
Yeah, he could paint whatever he wanted, but
yeah. And then I framed them and they turned out so cute. So it's like you take a little tiny bit of control and you know what I mean? It turns out to be this really cool thing that fits in with your decor, which is really cool.
Right. Yeah. So you did you do like the little wooden circles and then just have him paint them?
Yes. So they have like, when you go there, they'll have like different cutouts. They had deer ornaments, heart, stars.
Oh, okay. You know? Just any wood ornaments. Yeah.
Yep. And then most of them will have the hole already at the top, but you could totally create your own. Another idea is they always have like those like wood log cutouts. And you could have,
that's what I was thinking of.
Drill a little hole in there and put their name and date on the back. And it's just a cool way. It's a cozy tradition. You know, you're starting this new tradition that they look forward to and it enhances your decor that you're already doing, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's especially at that age, you know, just playing in the paint is so fun. You know, yes. I have a couple of older kids and they get their whole own ideas at this point. And so that's why we do the separate tree up in the kids' room, because it's a mess.
I love that though, because then they get full control. And I think that's really cool to like have that separation. And it's going to be different in everyone's household. You know, growing up, my mom, we just had the one tree and it had like pickle ornaments and just every ornament that we had ever collected, colorful lights. And I think that's awesome. And I don't know if it's like something about how we've evolved or like what we do now, but maybe it's just in our circle. You know, sometimes we get like locked into our circle, but I have a lot of friends that they do like to decorate and make things pretty their own way. They have a theme, you know, they do all this stuff and then they do have the separate kids tree. And I think it's cool to give them full control, because that was my favorite tradition growing up, was decorating the tree with my brother. And like, we would only pick up our ornaments that like we'd collected over the years and probably get in a few fights doing it. I wanted my pickle ornament where you just put that ornament, but it's so fun to look back on.
Yeah. We were always in collections. Did you do that where like one of your aunts or uncles would get you in a Hallmark collection and get you the ornament every year?
Yes. Or I think even my grandma sold Avon, and I think Avon even had one every year. So I do. Yes, I do remember that.
And you know, my mom also was like your mom. Like we had boxes of just random mismatched stuff, and it was just very fun to put out. But there probably were also moms who were really into design who gave the kids a separate tree. Like, I think we're thinking, oh, you know, maybe moms in the 80s didn't do that. But really, it might have just been like, some people are really into, like, this is what you clearly enjoy, is putting together beautiful things. And so, I don't know, sometimes people will just give you trouble. Like, I get these comments where, oh, you know, you're just taking, like, you just might not be interested in that. And so it's easy for you to say, just put whatever in your house and let your kids run, you know, but it's a different personality type too.
Yeah. I know. I get that too. And it's almost hard defending that because neither way is wrong.
Exactly. Right.
You also don't want to like go back, and I get those comments all the time because our house is like mostly white. And a lot of people cannot fathom living on a farm with like white painted floors and white slip covered furniture. But the thing about our house is that everything is washable. Our floors are basically deck flooring. We could hose them down if we wanted to. They're waterproof and everything is washable. So it's like, I'm just as relaxed as you. It's just, I really, really need my aesthetics and my surroundings to be a certain way just because of my creative brain and that it brings joy and our whole family loves it. And Jose and I actually, this is a great thing. Jose and I were just talking about this week where someone left a comment and it wasn't mean at all. They were basically just like, how does Cope not like throw fragile things? And it's very weird. I think when the kids are, they grow up around it, they don't even notice. Yeah. In fact, we were talking about this fall table behind me. I did it late at night one night. I was just kind of stressed and I was like, I'm going to decorate for fall. And I brought Cope down the next morning. I said, look what mom did last night. He goes, oh, pretty. And completely walked away where I thought he was going to be like pulling things off. But he's so used to me doing these like wild things that it's like, he doesn't even want to touch it. So I think it's just whatever your family is accustomed to. And it's what we're definitely in a different time where we're constantly looking into someone else's home on social media.
Yeah.
So it can make us feel less than or that we're doing something wrong, but we're really not. It's just how your family chooses to live. And if your family's cozy and happy, then keep on. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know. I have certain things out that people ask me the same questions. And I'm like, oh, those are always there. They don't care about that. You know, that's just always sitting there.
They just don't. And the same goes for those comments about like spending money on holiday decor or your budget compared to someone else's budget. And I always bring up like things to Jose, we'll have this conversation because I'm like, oh, like you don't have to defend your budget or what you're spending on things either because like that's what your family has decided. So some people will say like, why didn't you spend more on flooring or why did you spend so much on that art, you know what I mean? So it's the two of them. And it's kind of like, you know, some people choose to spend more money on vacations or going out, you know, alcohol or, you know, various things.
Whatever, choose,
you know, it's just, and again, it's, you're getting a peek into someone else's budget, life and home through social media. And you just have to remember that it's what works for your family, but that's hard to do when you're scrolling sometimes. I do the same.
It's hard. Apparently it's very hard.
it is. It's hard. Yeah.
So did you have trouble last year with the Christmas tree? Cause you had an almost 2-year-old.
You know, we didn't. I think I had to say a couple times like, oh, don't pull on that. But I think after a couple times of saying it, you know, it kind of stuck. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. I was a little nervous. Now I have an almost 3-year-old. So we'll see how this year goes. You know what I mean? I don't know, but last year was actually really, really good. And we didn't have any incidences, which is,
I would think this year would be better because I don't know, like an almost 2-year-old, you can't really, it's hard to communicate like what, you know, you can't do like a if then kind of thing, like reason with them. But
yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited. I think you're right. There was no reasoning or explaining. Like he knew what we were doing and he knew what Christmas was or at least like the very general gist yeah. of it. But I think this year is going to be really exciting, and I'm really excited to explain everything and to go over all the traditions. I think this uh-huh. year is going to be really fun.
Do you have any more crafts you're looking forward to doing with him, or traditions you're excited to try?
Yeah, I really want to. I was thinking about this actually when we were talking today. I really want to even involve like the little things. I know as moms, sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves about like wrapping gifts, and this can seem like a total dream that will never happen, but I really want to like even include him in maybe unwrapping one gift for, you know, whether it's for his cousins or something, kind of like those like everyday Christmas traditions, and like baking something. And I know that sometimes that you have to do things quick. We have to wrap gifts quick, or we have to like quick bake something for this like holiday party. But I want to really slow down, and I want to include him more on those like everyday Christmas things. And I think that could be really fun, and teach him, you know, about different things. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, I don't, yeah. We haven't even talked about, you know, all of the traditions. Cause I think, you know, once you start them, you know, you want to continue. So I think
And sometimes, yeah, they just come about naturally. Like sometimes yeah. I would say any tradition we have, we didn't necessarily plan it. Like, okay, yeah. We go to my husband's parents on Christmas morning. That wasn't like something I was like, oh, when we have kids, this is what we're going to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that you're right. I think it's oftentimes like even talking about it now, it's like feeling forced. Maybe those are like the least fun ones, or the ones that don't turn out because it's too much. But it's like those natural right. ones where you're baking something in the kitchen, and we have this like tower that he can stand on in the kitchen, like a little ladder mm-hmm, yeah. tower. Him naturally walking up and saying like, what are you doing, mama? And then we start baking together. And so maybe it's like those like natural moments more. And again, if we just slow down during the holidays, I think more of those traditions would naturally happen. I think we often get busy mm-hmm. and you know, yeah. we make all these things, but if we slow down, I think that would naturally happen.
Yeah. Oh, you have to leave space. That is when everything I feel like around the home that's creative happens, is leaving that space open for, yes. and that is hard during the holiday time.
It is. It is. And especially, you know, with, well, I only have one child right now. So you're this seasoned mother to me. And so, you know what I mean? I think with each kid, it probably, you know, you have concerts and church activities and yeah. things like that. So it adds to it.
Yeah, it definitely does. I was thinking, you were talking about the giving him the different, like the paint that matches to make the ornaments. One of the ideas I was thinking about is, one year I bought a bunch of the little tiny embroidery hoops, and I put like fabrics that I liked in it. And I was thinking I could get a bunch of fabric options that match my scheme. And then also, because I have older kids, giving them an embroidery needle with the fabric or with the embroidery twine that I like the colors, and then allowing them to put little designs like stars or buttons.
I love that idea. Yes. And what a fun, I mean, that seems like it would just take up an entire snowy afternoon of boredom.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That seems yeah. like it would keep them busy for a long time. Cause some of those, it's like kind of a 15-minute thing, and then they're over it. You know what I mean? When they're younger. So I love uh-huh. the idea of like keeping the older kids busy and off technology and using their hands. And right. I think that's I love that idea.
Yeah. And we could just spread it out in the living room, because we do paint more in the kitchen, you know, on the kitchen table, but then like with the rugs and everything, I'm like, oh, we could just, same kind of concept as what you were saying, but with
yeah.
fabric and needles, which
I kind of want to do one now.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Think that's super fun. Yeah. No, yeah. That, I love that. And again, it's like, you know, you're picking out the colors, so you'll actually put them out. But at the same time, it's them completely making them, which is really cool.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So What are some of the other ways? I mean, I know you're the queen of cozy. That is what your books are all about. You have, is this coming out your third book?
Third book, second in the cozy series.
Okay.
We have a children's book.
Right.
About our farm as well. So, and that I co-authored. That was totally Jose's, my husband's.
Okay.
Brainchild.
Right.
So it's funny with that, just a side note. I don't know if many people know this, but before we even thought about adopting, before we got our son Cope, he actually had a dream one night and about this, like the story that we ended up putting in the book. And when he woke up, he was like, shh, don't talk to me. Like, I need to type this all out.
Get it down.
Yeah. Typed it out. And this is when I was either right before or when I was writing my first cozy book. And he told the publisher when they came to visit the farm just about this book, and they happened to remember. And so they later came to us and they said, we'd love to see this. And there's our book, you know, we belong to each other.
Okay.
And it's weird because it has strong ties to adoption, but it was before we even considered adopting.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Really like weird full circle
yeah.
moment. I think a lot of people think, oh, you came up with the idea, you know, with your farm.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. And that would make sense, but it was actual God moment and it's neat. So yeah.
And before the farm too, that he thought of that?
It was, no, we were here on the farm and
okay.
it was actually, we had just gotten our first sheep, which we technically,
okay.
we adopted her because her mother rejected her. And so, you know, she came to the farm and was just kind of like, no one looks like me. She thought she was a cat in real life for a very long time. She would hop like a cat because she was in a little kennel with the kittens because they were babies and she was a baby. No one could be out on their own. So she thought she was a cat. And then she learns in the book, it's not about looks. It's about love that makes us a family. So, and the same goes for our son. You know, he is not biologically from us, but he's our son, and I'm excited for him to understand that concept one day.
Yeah, that's so good to have that book.
Yeah.
So with the cozy books, those were one before and then one now. So that is what you have become known for, is all things cozy. This is your time to shine. It's fall, it's winter. So
this is your moment. Yeah,
this is your moment.
Yeah.
So what are some of your tips? Because I feel like with our home, I get tired of being in it, quite honestly, because all summer it's very indoor, outdoor. I know you guys have your pool, probably the same for you, lots of outdoor spaces that you've made beautiful. And now, you know, more time is spent inside. And I get tired of seeing it. It's fun through, I guess, decorating for Christmas is fun, but then I even get tired of that.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot. No, I know. I'm the same as you. And it's funny. So the first book that we wrote was 100 super simple ways to make your home cozy. Anyone could do it, whether you live in a high-rise apartment, a farm, a tri-level, it didn't matter. And so that's where we started out. In the second book is seasonal tips. And when we started writing the book, it was prior to 2020, and mm-hmm. it just seemed very easy. I was going to make all of these ornate, complicated things and just make it more like, I guess, advanced.
Right.
And then 2020 happened
mm-hmm.
and I completely shut down. I was like, why am I writing this book? Why is it important? There are so many more things happening in the world. This is not important. And someone shook me out of it. And they were like, Liz, like now more than ever.
Home, are you kidding me?
Home is important. Yeah. And I was like, duh. You know what I mean? Sometimes I go in these like dark places.
Oh, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And I came out and I was like, okay. So I completely changed. It is again, 100 super simple tips on how to make your home cozy in every season. And we had to go back to the basics. So you're getting sick of your home, I do the same thing. And for me, it's starting each season fresh. Like you need to go into every season. We think of spring as like spring cleaning. And it's like,
right.
no, let's go into every season. So every season in the book, as you're reading, has a seasonal checklist of like cleaning tips. And then you go into a bucket list. And I wrote my seasonal bucket list with tons of ideas for the season that everyone can use, or just get inspired to make your own seasonal bucket list. And so that bucket list includes things in and out of the house. Because we, in every season, we cannot be locked up in our houses.
No.
And so I hope that's helpful. And I know, and I know everyone understands the concept of cleaning, and I'm not revolutionizing that, but just to get inspired to have this checklist, it's like, oh, well, I want to clean like all the shelving and like the air ducts and change the filters today. Doing literal simple washing the curtains, that always makes my house feel so much bigger. And just, I can't even explain. And I think everyone listening probably understands that too. It's like, just doing that makes your house feel new and fresh. Having the windows clean, because we have so many windows in our house, it feels like a whole new house. And so starting with that, so starting at the basics and then going on from there, we can talk about adding different lighting and bringing the lighting off of your ceiling, especially in the wintertime, not having that overhead lighting, maybe adding some lamps and candles or even a wall plants. I mean, just making your little simple changes can make your house feel new. Like if you need to rearrange a room, let's switch the sofa and the chairs around to make it feel like a new home. You know what I mean? Little simple changes like that can just make your house feel new.
Even a whole lot. Yeah.
No.
I was thinking the lighting too. Like that was the first thing that popped in my head, because the days are so short. I get really tired of seeing the rooms with the overhead lighting. Like the overhead lighting just doesn't do it any favors. It's prettier in the daylight. And if you have the cozy lighting down, you can just put all of that on and you can, it can really carry you through when it gets dark at 4:30 at night.
Yeah. I really struggle with, and I think just to go back to the beginning, I truly think, you know, you say, you know, you're known for making spaces cozy, and a lot of people are. I just think how I stumbled into that world was because of like all of these hard things we had gone through, like miscarriage and years of infertility and deployments. You know, my husband was in the Marine Corps, all of these hard things, like losing a father-in-law. It forced me to go, okay, how do I make my surroundings nurture me in these times? And I struggle with seasonal depression. Depression and anxiety is something that I have to work through daily, but seasonal depression, you know, in the winter, it's hard. It's way harder. And so it's
winter.
What are you going to do? You know, like, let's nurture this and like, let's make your surroundings. Even adding like in our library area, we put wall sconces. I actually have a wall sconce behind me, and they're plug-in. You can make any hardwired fixture plug-in. You can go to Home Depot, make it, they have kits to make anything hardwired a plug-in. And so if you're not going to hardwire something in the wall, or you can put like a puck light with a remote inside of it.
I have seen people do that. And I really need to do that, because that is, the lighting is so important. When you say sconces, I'm like, okay, well, we have to, you know, get an electrician. We have to tear into our plaster because we have an old house like you do.
Yes.
And so it's like, well, I can get a lamp. But yeah, I guess you could just...
There's so many different ways. In fact, today, my husband Jose is working in our studio and we're adding some wall sconces. And I was like, let's just, they actually make remote light bulbs now, chargeable remote light bulbs.
Okay.
I mean, they're constantly coming out with these like new lighting things. You can get those on Amazon. I have not tried them yet, but we're going to today, hopefully.
Okay.
And so it's just bringing that lighting off of the ceiling, adding like those glow lights on strings into a cloche, lighting a candle, getting faux candles if you're not like, if you don't want to light something, you know, they
That's true. Like, I never think to do that. Like to get the little flickering ones, you know, and put them everywhere so you don't have to worry about kids knocking them over and lighting your house on fire.
Yes. That's exactly me. It's like, if I'm not in the room, that candle is not lit. I'm so scared of fire.
Yeah.
But they make some really good realistic looking ones on Amazon that are affordable. They used to be, you only get realistic looking ones at like Pottery Barn for super expensive. But when, whatever your price range is, just, you can find them. And then also, I think, you know, even those oil diffusers, or I know they have like the wax burners, you know, that you plug in and that gives a glow, anything like that. And just being aware, like, hey, it gets dark at 4 o'clock, maybe having a timer on lamps. So your lamps turn on when it gets dark and you don't have to mentally think about it. So you're sitting there in the dark all of a sudden. and you probably will have timers in the winter for your Christmas tree. So just don't put that away. Plug your lamp into it. And so you don't even have to think about,
I never even thought about that. I don't think I've ever used a timer in my life, but I like the idea.
So yes, it's so helpful for me because you almost don't notice that it got dark at four. It's cozy and light inside and you look out one time and you're like, oh, it got dark. And you, it's just finding things that get you through the wintertime. And I know at the beginning of our talk, I was like, I'm so excited for winter, but it's being prepared, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Prepared.
Yeah. If you have your home cozy, lots of blankets, lots of textures, it really can be a time to enjoy. The biggest thing that we've done in our house, which this isn't expensive, it's not like something somebody can just do this year, but we got a wood stove and it sits right in the middle of our home and it just makes the whole vibe different. It's the best.
I am so jealous. I hope to be doing something to make our fireplace or a wood stove in the front room workable by winter, because currently we have a faux fireplace that we made. So you can make your own. We made one that looks really realistic. We got the insert off Amazon. This is not an Amazon ad, your whole podcast.
But well, everything's on there.
I know. I'm like, I'm really sorry. But it does look like a real fireplace and it wasn't expensive. We made it in our front room. We have a tutorial on my blog on lizmarieblog.com for it.
I will link that down in the show notes.
Yeah, if someone can't do it, but I'm with you. I love wood stoves and the smell is cozy.
Yeah. And we always have wood laying around. Like there's, people are like, that's such a mess. I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like, it's just nice.
And sometimes again, back to the comments we get, the mess is worth it. Like
it is, it's a mess.
It
I like.
It might not be worth it to them, but it is
exactly
you. And
yeah,
I agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. It depends, but creating that vibe, like you said, with the insert, I hadn't thought about that. You could definitely do the fire look, which it's cozy no matter what. I've been around some that are very realistic looking that totally give the same vibe. So that is something.
And it still heats the room. So we actually, what happened was we put new, so we lived in an 1800s farmhouse. It was completely redone in the 80s. So I often actually cry because I, like you, I don't have anything old left.
You had to put lot.
They replaced the character
back in.
Yes, they replaced everything in the 80s. And I look at old pictures and it kind of makes me cry sometimes. But we're trying to put that character back in.
Right.
And we added windows in the front living room that's right below our bedroom. That took the ducts out of our room. So we don't have or AC in our room.
Okay.
And so we kind of do. There's a duct on one far side.
So but you just open the door and.
Yes. But the fire, that faux fireplace gives off the heat in our room. I mean, and we wake up, just sweating. And it's awesome because it looks cozy, but it also heats the room. So for us, it's actually needed and practical.
Right.
And so you can totally do that in any room. All in the faux fireplace just plugs in to a normal plug. So you can literally do it in your kitchen, your living room.
Yeah, I want to look at your tutorial and think about another place in our house where we can do something like that.
A kid's room if you're going to put a space heater somewhere, just like build a little faux fireplace. And it was super easy. And, we just love the look of it. So I'm with you. I a lot of things that we do in this farmhouse and what we do in general is oftentimes we'll get the more affordable or faux thing first until we can afford to do the real thing.
Right.
And that's a lot of what we do. Even with antiques, like when we decorate with antiques, sometimes I'll want like an antique kitchen scale, but I can't find the real one that I want. So until I get the real one, I'll do a faux one, or you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah, you have to look for it and find it. And
you do.
Sometimes
you
that do. Space just needs something right now.
Yes.
I love that you have a shop. I'm like, you can buy things and know that you can still sell them. I cannot do that because marketplace just doesn't work.
And I have to say that I have to repeat myself all the time on social media and everywhere that, you know, and oftentimes people will be like, I want to do exactly what you do. And I will say, you will need a shop or you will need to be really good at eBay marketplace or Craigslist or have a booth somewhere. And a booth is super easy to get at an antique shop. But when just for example, I'm sitting actually at our kitchen island and I always get comments from like, you've changed your island like four times, but it's like, I'm waiting out for like the one, you know what I mean? And then in the meantime, I'm finding cool things to try. Like one time we did a dining table. One time we did like a little workbench and one time we did a little dresser. And for me, part of my job is creating content for LizBlog.com.
Yeah.
And so that's creating content for me. It's giving people different ideas. Like, hey, did you know you can use a dining table as your kitchen island? And some people are like, oh no, I never thought about that. That's awesome. And then when I'm done with that, I am able to bring that antique table to my store. And so it is not for, what we do is not for everyone, but it's what we love to do and it's what we do. And thank goodness I have a store because otherwise I would definitely have a barn full of furniture and hoarders would probably be called on me. So,
or you just have to live with sometimes something not being the perfect piece that you thought it would, because that's what, I don't have a shop. And so sometimes it's like, that wasn't exactly what I was picturing, but I really can't swap it out at this point.
Yes. And that's exactly it. And you know, I do the same thing because sometimes you have to make something work in the meantime because you need it for practicality.
Yeah.
Like a dining room table, it's maybe not the one, but you got it and you're going to live with it until, you know what I mean? I'm not going to keep swapping out a dining room table. It's just, you need it to function for now. And maybe in 5 years you'll be at a flea market and you'll find this perfect one.
Right.
And then you can use this one out on your porch. You know what I mean? It's just,
You can swap it around your house.
Yeah. When the budget allows and time allows. And for me, I want my house to be mostly filled with things that are antique, and that's just not going to happen overnight. You know what I mean? It's just,
oh no. Yeah. That's another whole topic in itself.
I know. My favorite that is, I got a tangent.
No, that's okay. But that comes up on this show a lot because I have on a lot of people who also like antiques, and I talk about the process of it all because I know, like with your guys' house, it just takes time too. Like you can't do it justice in a HGTV episode, you know?
No. And we've lived here now for 5 years, and I would say we maybe touched 20% of the house.
Yeah.
And some things
we have a big house.
Yeah. And you know, we don't think we've fully grown our family yet. And we don't think that we fully know the purpose of every space.
Right.
We were able to get this house super cheap because it had been on the market for years and years, because the people that had this house, they redid it in the 80s and it was in pristine condition. The woman who lived here this was her castle. Uh-huh. And so, but no one that went through it wanted to live in an 80s home for the price it was at. And so we were able to get it super affordable, but it's just touching it as budget allows. And you talked about the pool in the beginning. That was our 2020. We're like, that was supposed to be like a 10-year thing, but then we were locked in the house with a 1-year-old, and that was, we're like, well, maybe we'll do it now. And I had sold my vehicle. So we're like, we'll just get a pool with that. And then I didn't get a car for, you know what I mean? You make do with what works for your family and what budget of time allows. But being on Instagram, and you know this, you'll watch people buy a house and it's fully renovated in a month. And you're like, it can make you feel less than, but know that there are people out there that are, we've been here for 5 years and long ways to go. And what I was going to say too is some things we've done are temporary changes. This is just a personal preference, nothing against. I did not want to live with a fully carpeted home and bathrooms in the kitchen. And I didn't want to live with that carpet. And so we ripped it out and put cheap pine boards down. We got a super good deal on pine and I painted it. That might not be here in 20 years, but it's going to get us probably 10 or even more maybe. And it was a great fix and it was affordable and it got us through. So things like that, I'm a firm believer in making things cozy in the moment. In fact, in our front living room too, we actually just lived on subfloor for over a year. We just took the carpet up and painted the subfloor and threw a rug down. So it looked like we had renovated that space and I shared it on the blog, but that wasn't the long-term plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it made it in probably about one weekend, maybe two weekends or whatever.
Easy.
Where it was, you know, it fitting in with your aesthetic, which.
Yes. And everyone listening too, not everyone listening shares their home daily on Instagram. So some of what we say can be for those who do, but it also can be for the people that don't share it on Instagram. Like if I could have blocked off most of our house and then we went through the adoption process, which we had to do a home study so we could no longer have holes in our floor to the basement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so some of the changes were made because of, you know, the adoption process and things like that too. So in fact, the room that Cope sleeps in was our guest room and I had wallpapered it for a guest room and it stayed like that. You know, it's just, I've never actually done like his own nursery. So I'm kind of waiting to do like a big boy room someday.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. That'll be the next thing for sure.
Yeah.
Be ready for that before when he's in bed.
I know he crawled out of his crib one time, like months ago. And I thought he was in a big boy bed, but he's never done it again. And I don't know, it must've been a fluke day. I don't know what got into him that day. He turned into Spider-Man. But
oh, good.
I'm going to keep
some kids do, some don't. My son, who is going to be two next month, I mean, 18 months, I had to put the little, you know, the little sleep sacks that you put on newborns.
Yes.
I put that on because people told me he wouldn't climb out if I did that. He figured out how to climb out. I put a gate on his room because it's a room without a door. And then I got one of those tents that actually goes over the
I have and one
finally,
of those.
Finally, the kid doesn't get out. It's horrible.
Those tents are amazing for those who travel, by the way. That's why we got it. His first year of life, he traveled. He went on like 27 flights because of our book. We were doing
books. Right.
So he was a flying baby, but sleeping in a hotel was awful. So he got that tent.
I never thought about that. That's a good idea.
Because you're in the same room and they like look at you and they don't sleep and you're wanting to
Exactly. No, that's what's so horrible about hotels because if they can see you,
it's over.
But if they're contained and they know they're contained, you know, I didn't think about pulling that out of the crib and bringing it with us. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I never thought about using it in the home. Like I'm just thinking travel. I'm not even thinking that's a great idea. Especially
it's out of pure necessity, but now the kid is trapped and it's great.
That is awesome. Yeah.
People talk about it like not being safe or for whatever reason, but I'm like, him getting out of his crib at 18 months is not safe. Like
no, and it's fully vented. What is the name of it? I mean, you can find it on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. Look for crib tent. And there's amazing reviews on there. I mean, anything cannot be safe. We just have to use our own motherly.
Right. I was way more worried about him coming down the stairs by himself after he got out of
Same. The Same. So, yes. We had to put a gate at the end of the hallway. I went that day and got one because I was so scared. I never did it again. It was good. Very
so yeah, thing. You, yeah, maybe you won't have a hard time with your big boy bed then. If
I, yeah, really I
push that I boundary wonder, too much.
Cope is definitely like a very private sleeper since he was a baby. And I always wondered, you know, we're in a very big, as an adoptive family, we're in a very big nurture and nature experiment. Is it nurture? Is it nature? Right. And he is always.
You might not ever know, honestly.
I know. It's very weird. It's very fun. We're very close with birth mom. And so we can talk to her about all the things. And he's just been very much like, I want to be in my own dark room since I was a baby. I need quiet.
Some kids are like that.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping that remains when we get in a big boy bed, that I love sleep, so it is one of my biggest fears, but
yeah,
we'll cross that mountain when we get there.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to see how you do his big boy room and
yeah, I'm all excited. That you
have planned for this fall and winter, or winter really. I think when this comes out, we're going to be probably talking more about, yeah, winter cozy, the darkest days of the year, because it'll be
yes.
November. So then I'm so excited to see your book.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for everyone to see it. It's been pushed back a little bit due to shortages and everything in the world, okay. But I think it's coming out. It's coming out mid-November, so
okay.
I am excited. I think it's a great time. You know, and there's a ton of tips in here on how to add light to rooms with no windows. I mean, there's a lot in the book hitting on how to bring life to your spaces. So hopefully this helps people get through the long winters.
So do you have your book in your possession already?
I do, but this is actually like a limited edition actually, because this is actually not the cover. And they completely redid the inside. So this is a one of a kind that only I have. But yeah, so it's printed, and I wanted to let everyone know too, it's very rare for books to be printed in America, just because it's more expensive, but our book is actually printed in America.
Oh, I love that.
Very excited about that. It was kind of, not on purpose. It was an accident that happened, and we were actually able to go visit where it was printed the other day.
How cool.
And meet the people who are so thankful to like have these jobs that they're printing books. It was really cool as an author to meet the people. I often get all the credit.
Yeah, that's unique.
I often get all the credit if the book looks good, but I'm fully, now that I've met these people, I'm like, it's not me. It's these hard workers that print the books. And I also get the bad reviews if you look on Amazon, like if the book shows up wet or damaged, I also get those bad reviews. It falls on me. So I'm like the waitress of the world.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
You know what I mean? As an author, you're just like the waitress, like no matter what. But anyways, I will no longer, I'll accept the bad reviews on if the book shows up damaged from Amazon, if your Amazon carrier throws it on your roof. Right. But I'll no longer be accepting the good reviews if it looks good, because
maybe that's the all photos,
but it's all them. So that's a really cool, especially, I feel like in this year, like to have things made in America, I think is really cool.
Exactly. Oh yeah. We're seeking that out more and more.
Yeah.
So what's the best place to find it? Just on Amazon, I guess, or through your Instagram or your blog?
Yeah. So you can go to lizmarieblog.com, and you'll see a whole section on the book and things about the book with full tutorials, because we do have some DIY in here, but then the full tutorials are on the blog. But also you can find this book wherever books are sold: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart, Christian bookstores, basically anywhere a book is sold. I don't know if I said Walmart, but the book is
all there.
Yep. Online and in store too. So we're very excited. So thank you.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to see it and get my hands on it. And
We'll send you a copy
this fall and winter. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I'll let you get back to your busy day. But thank you again so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was really fun, and it's always fun to talk to someone, not on a screen, you know what I mean? Or I guess on screen, but not on social media typing to each
directly.
Other. Directly. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for finding my words for me. So no, today was so fun. Thank you for having me.
Right. Well, thank you so much for watching this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Make sure to follow along with Liz over on Instagram, pre-order her book. I believe it comes out within a week or two of this airing. And so I will put a link for it down in the show notes or description box. You can follow her on Instagram if you don't already, at Liz Marie Galvin over on Instagram, and just catch up with her cozy cottage style. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.